welcome. Today, we are going to talk about standing out on the web, essentials for a great website. And these are things that there's a bunch of tips and a bunch of things. And so I urge you to have a pen and paper handy. I urge you to have some notes ready. Of course, you're going to get this as a recording afterwards. I'm recording all of this so that you will get all this information as well. And so you can go back and review it. And I honestly, like, I've gotten a lot of feedback and saying that some of the previous things that I've done just contain way too much information. And I have to admit that this one has a lot of information as well. And it's just as I was starting to write down the things that to help you stand out on the web, the more that I went through, the more I was like, oh, I need to add this. I need to add this. So the good thing is there's not really any code. There's not really any geek talk. This is essentially like ideas, and it's supposed to, I'm just trying to give you ideas to give you a great thought process and how to think through how to lay out your site, how to think through how to have a great looking site that's going to function well. So I just have a whole bunch of stuff that I want to share with you, and with that, we're going to get started. Now, I just want to tell you a little bit about me. My name is Dustin Hartzler. I am here with you today. We're going to spend the next hour getting to, I'm going to share some information with you. And some of them is going to be stuff that I've studied via the industry. Some of the things are going to be quite possibly my pet peeves with people, what they do on their websites. Most of them, though, are industry standards, things that everybody should be doing on their website. I am a full-time WordPress developer and a podcaster. Most of you may have found me or listened to Your Website Engineer podcast that comes out weekly. I know some people, I've got some people in from Twitter and different things that aren't a big fan of that or haven't even checked that out yet. So I just want to let you know that is what I do. I am full-time into WordPress as the only platform that I use, and I study the website industry. I mean, I meet with people on a weekly basis, and we go through different website books. We read different journals. We read stuff so we know what's coming. We know how to be prepared for the future and where the web industry has been taking us or where it is going. Some assumptions that I'm going to make as we get started is I'm going to assume that you already have a website. So that's the first thing. And if you don't, you know, no big deal. You can still learn all this information. But the first thing is I'm going to assume that you already have a website. And I'm going to assume that you know how to make changes. This doesn't necessarily have to mean that you're using WordPress, even though I highly recommend WordPress, but you can be using any platform anywhere, you know, as long as you know how to make changes. If you don't, then there's definitely some things that you might need a little bit of help with, and I'm more than happy to help you with these things, but I just want to make those assumptions as we get started. I'm also going to just say flat out that we are going to be talking and covering a few things today about things that you might need a developer that needs a little help with. Some of the things might be a little bit more advanced from your technical side of things, but I just want to let you know that those are things that we're going to talk about. So are you ready to get started? We got a lot of tons of information, so grab that pen, grab that paper, grab your iPad, whatever you're going to take a few notes on, and let's get started. So are you ready? Let's hear it in the chat room. Are you ready? This is, I'm going to try to get as much interactiveness as I can. So woohoo, yes, we're ready to go. Let's get started. So I'm going to cover, these are the overviews, and I've kind of broken this down into four sections, and we're going to talk through these in four different sections. So the first one is, and most people I know will tell you to have the best point last, so people stick all the way through your presentation, you know, they're going to stay all the way to the end. Hey, I'm not going to do that. I think everything builds off this number one priority that every website owner should focus on. We're going to talk about website structure. We're going to talk about the necessary pages that need to be on your website. And we also need to, I've got some immediately remove items. And these are things that, hey, you should immediately remove and get rid of on your website. And so with that, let's get started with the number one priority. The number one priority is, what do you want your visitors to do? So you need to think about this as you're building your website, as you're modifying it, as you're going along. You need to think, what do you want your website visitors to do? And this could be a range of number things. You can want your website owner, or you want people that come to your website, maybe you want them to sign up for your Facebook page. Maybe you want their email address. Maybe you want them to buy your ebook. Maybe you want them to like you on Twitter and then post on your Facebook page and then go to YouTube and then send you an email. Like, whatever it is, know what that priority is. If you have a shopping cart or if you have a store, make sure that you are focused on getting people into that store. You know, people come from a whole line of different things, you know, different ways to find you, stumble upon your site, but you want to know what is your number one priority and then design your site, design the experience around that. And so this was one of the key points that I knew and I really didn't pay much attention to it. But then when I went to, I was at Blog World in early June, Blog World and New Media Expo, and somebody said this, and I was like, duh, I know this, but we just need to focus on that so everybody knows what they're coming, what they're going to do when they get to your website. So you may already have that. I mean, you may have a perfectly great blog or perfectly great website and everything, you know, you already have that. You maybe even thought of that as you were getting ready, but just go ahead and I recommend every 3 to 6 months, go through and rethink, okay, is our strategy on the web, the what we want them to do, or is it easy for them to do that while they get on the or while they're on your website? So that's kind of the big overall priority. And then some of these other things that we're going to talk about today kind of go through that. So think about what you want your visitors to do. You just pick one thing. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't. I mean, if I really wanted more Twitter followers, I would put a big add or, you know, add me to Twitter button as the very first thing as what people come to see. And so that's not really my goal, but you just need to pick one thing. So the reason that I want to talk about this is Hick's Law. And you can see this formula on the screen, and T equals B multiplied by the log base 2 N plus 1. You know, that's really complicated. And you really, it's really, what does this mean? And basically what it means, this is summed down to the time it takes for a person to make a decision as a result of the number of possible choices. So the more choices that you give a person, the either the more time it's going to take to make them make that decision, or they'll be indecisive and they'll be what's the phrase that I think they call it paralysis by analysis. They're trying to figure out what they want people to, you know, they're trying to figure out what to do next, and then they just don't know, so they just don't do anything. And so I do have an example here. What would you do on this website? If you look at it, this is a crazy website. It's got a lot going on this homepage. I think there's 19 different links, 19 or 20 different links that you can click on right from the homepage. And then if you click on the drop-down menus, there's at least 65 things that you can click on. And so what would you do here? I don't know. I would probably hit the back button. There's just too much going on. It looks too crazy. It's too busy for me. I'm just going to get rid of the place. I'm just going to back out of it. Their website focus, though, is to drive leads to their website via search engine optimization. And they want organic search engine optimization. So under all those different tabs at the top, they have articles that are written specifically for a niche industry. And how that works is then people, when they're Googling those certain phrases and payment services or merchant services, then they're going to show up on Google. So their approach is they actually built this website focused on getting new clients in from Google. And so they're not all about the user accessibility there on that homepage, but that's what they focused on. And I mean, right, wrong, or indifferent, it's actually working for them. So that's what their website looks like. Another example that I want to share with you is chrisg.com. And you can see right here, I mean, what's the most important thing for him? It really takes up half of his site. He is trying to get you to sign up for his email list, because he knows, I know, there's a lot of people out there that know that if you're signed up for somebody's email list, then that is the most one of the most intimate ways that you can communicate with this person. You can send them extra content. Right here, you're getting 2 free eBooks if you sign up for your email updates right here. You've got the big button next to the arrow that you can sign up, and there's also the form right at the very top. You can sign you up for email addresses as well. Another example on focus is the onesaleaday.com. Now you can see here, what's their focus? I mean, the top part of their site, they're trying to sell one product. That's their whole business model. They sell one product each day. They have the list price on there and then the savings price. And then it says that, you know, you're saving 71% and you can get it for $29.99. Buy it now. And then it shows how much time it until the deal's over. So that basically means that there was 15 hours left in the day that that you could go ahead and buy this. And then also what they do is when the product is almost sold out, they put a little, they said, or I think they changed the color, or they do something that says, I'm almost sold out, or I want one now, get one now before they're gone, something like that. So their focus is to drive that anticipation from people that it's like, oh, hey, I really want, you know, I really need this, and they want you to purchase from them. Then they've got other things on the other side, on the right side, that maybe if this deal isn't exactly what you want from One Sale a Day, then maybe you can go to the One Sale a Day wireless over with the camera, the Kodak 14 megapixel camera. And so it kind of entices you to do that. So that's the focus on this site. And like I said, we're going to show lots of examples, and these examples aren't the people that are doing things the absolute best, but they're examples of, just to kind of give you some inspiration, some ideas of what you can do on your own website or blog. Now, I wanted to show you just a case study of my old yourwebsiteengineer.com, and this was as of a couple weeks ago. I took this screenshot of my website, and you can see that I've got all the social media icons there. There's 8 of them up there at the top. There's a play button that's pretty big that people can click on when they first come to the site. Then there's this claim your free ebook now on the right hand side. And I mean, it looks good, but there's just a lot of things that's going on. Like, what should I do first? You know, do I come in? Do I listen to an episode? Do I sign up first for the mailing list and get that free ebook? What exactly am I supposed to do here? And so I went through and I did a very informal case study. And so if you're interested in all that, I'm going to share that in just a minute. But it's not really the best case study I've ever done before in my life. But then I went ahead and I redesigned it. So I've taken all those social media icons, I've moved them out of the way, and then I put across the top a very big, say, hey, become an insider to get exclusive deals and a free ebook. And that shows up right there at the top of the page. There's no more, I mean, there's still other things that are on this page. You know, you can still see that play button. You can see the sign up for the WordPress webinar that's coming up, you know, that's actually right now that you're listening to. But it kind of, as a full out across the top of the page linear thing, when you first see the website, it kind of is like, oh, hey, this is something that's important. You know, that's the way I've tried to redesign my website. And the case study, just to let you know, as of from the first 4 weeks or the first 3 weeks, I guess it's all the month of June, I averaged 1.6 new people to my email list per day. And I've changed this, and it's only been up for a week. And so like 4 days, 5 days, something like that. So the case study isn't done. It's not exact yet. But by implementing this, I have upped that to 2.5 email signups per day. So not a lot, but still it's growing the list. And I think the visual presentation of showing off my ebook, like my goal for my website is to A, have people listen to the website listen to the podcast, which is the secondary thing. But first I really want to show them, hey, I've got some great information in this free ebook. So I've kind of retailored that so you can see that just a little bit. So is it more clear now that my focus is upon getting those email signups? That's kind of what I was going for with that mini case study. So now we're done with the number one priority for every website owner. Now we're going to talk about some website structure things. And these are going to come rapid fire at you. So I'm sorry and I apologize, but there's just a lot of stuff that I'm trying to pack into this 1 hour. So the biggest thing is, when you're developing a website, when you're designing a site, when you're designing your blog, is to don't make me think. Me as in the visitor to your website. Your job is to get rid of the question marks. You don't want people to be like, oh, should I go or should I do... You know, like, that's not what you're supposed to do. Your job is to get rid of the question marks. So the first thing is, link your logo to your homepage. This is a big one that I find that is not done on lots and lots of websites. Here's just two examples of some of the big, you know, big websites, Amazon.com, Kayak.com. They don't even have home buttons anymore. They have the logos that you just know to click on. Click on the logo, it's going to take you back to the homepage. You wouldn't be surprised by how many people, you know, go up there and will click on that image to take you back to the homepage, and then it does nothing. And then when it does nothing, then they're confused. Okay, now they have to think, okay, now where do I go? How do I get back? Do I hit the back button 17 times to get back to the homepage? Or is there a home button somewhere? You know, you're just wanting to get rid of those thinking opportunities. And it doesn't sound like much. You know, you may have to think like half a second or a millisecond or whatever it is. But just think of, if you do that multiple times, if a person does that multiple times from your website, you know, it just adds up, you know, one after another. And then pretty soon, you know, I get frustrated. I know a lot of people get frustrated when they're on a website and they can't find the information that they need. You know, the easiest way is, you know, you check around a little bit, and if you have to think too much, the content doesn't look good, you can't figure it out, then you just go ahead and you click the back button and you get out of there. You try another site. And so this is one of the things that I find that a lot of people do not do. This might be something that you need a web guy to do, but make sure that this is an action item as you move forward. Make buttons look like buttons. And there's going to be a couple that pop up here. And of the three, this last one is the only one that really looks like a button. I mean, on the right-hand side, you see the grab free report, and then it says sign up. And you're like, is that a button? Do I click there? Do I hit enter? How does that work? You know, once again, they're just small little snippets of time that you've got to think about, but it's still, you know, it, those things add up. And so people can say, well, if you hover over the button, then you can see that that's how you sign up. But to hover over the button, then you've got to move the mouse there. You've got to hover there. You got to see if the little finger icon points, pulls up. You know, it's just, it makes it more difficult for people to really understand, hey, this is a button. One thing I do recommend with buttons too is, you know, you make it look like a button, like that red button right there in the center, but make sure that it does something when somebody hovers over it. It makes it feel more like a tactical button. So maybe in the sign up now, it's free button. Maybe the text turns a different color, or the red turns a deeper shade, or that the shadow behind it turns a darker color. Do something to kind of make it look more 3D. I think more 3D buttons, or the more the 3D the button is, the easier people's like, oh, that's exactly where I need to click. That's where I need to go next. So next point, make buttons look like buttons. Okay, this one is kind of neat, and this is a case study, and I'm going to show an image here from, this is the Jeep's website, and I found this from 2002, so it's very old, but look at all the text. We don't read text anymore, especially on a homepage. We go through, and we're trying to get the information as fast as we can, so, you know, we're just trying to figure out what we can do. So here it's like find a dealer. Most people understand that find a dealer means, hey, I'm going to put in some information, I'm going to find the dealer that's closest to me. But here they've got all these steps that they're going through that they expect people to read. Now they redesigned it, so now it says, you know, it's easy to find a Jeep dealer, and then they kind of put a couple bullet points, so there's not nearly as much text, and it's broken up, and it's easier to see. But it's still, you know, there's still a lot of text when you just have to find a dealer. And of course, this was back in 2002, remember? So this was before, like, really the internet got started, I guess. But now let's look at Jeep's website now. Like, here's their homepage. They really have no text on their homepage whatsoever. They know that people are coming to their website and they want to find information about a certain type of Jeep. And so you want to go through and, you know, you hover over the Jeep at the top that you're interested in, and then that takes you to more information. And so it's more about getting people to get to the information that they really want. Now, this doesn't take into consideration like blog posts. Blog posts are made to be read. You know, this is more the text for the homepage. Like, you don't need a whole bunch of text that says, hey, welcome to my website. You know, thanks for stopping by. You know, like, people aren't reading that information anymore. They're coming to your website. They're checking out what they need to do, where they need to go, and then they're moving on. But for blogs, you know, you want to make sure that you're still breaking up your content to an extent with great looking pictures, maybe some bullets, maybe some highlighted text, you know, different font sizes, things along those lines to make it easy to get those bullet points as they stand out. People are exposed to so much information on the web these days. They just want to get the information that they want. They want to get out of there. Then they want to move on to the rest of the day. Another thing that I want to talk about is white space. And I know that I am very, very bad at this. And, you know, I love jamming lots of stuff in, kind of like I love jamming as much information that I can in 30 minutes or an hour that I can with you guys. But you want to try to make sure that you don't jam and fill your website with too much stuff. White space is good. It really just helps to set things apart and really can give you the focus that you need on certain areas. If you've got too many widgets or too many things blinking and moving and all jammed together, it is it's really hard for people to really focus on what you're doing. And I have a question here, and if you're right there next to the chat room and you could type it in, what is the number one website used in all the world? Does anybody know? Can we hear you out there? Can people hear me? Yes, we're going. People can hear me. People are guessing. And yes, Google is the number one website in the world. It is the one that people use the most, and I don't know the exact stats, but look how much white space is on there. Look at what their focus is. Their focus is search. They even have the blinking icon all ready for you to go. All you have to do is start typing as soon as you go to google.com. So they know their focus, and they get rid of all the other distractions to make you to forget about everything else you're doing. You want to go right to Google. You want to Google something. And the last piece that I want to just tie in here just a little bit is do you need a mobile site? And this could be, I could spend an entire two webinars on this. Do you need a mobile site? But this is just going back to the whole focus piece. Look at the design through the site of, or look at your site design through the eyes of your viewers. Would your viewers be using a mobile device to look you up. Example is if you own a pizza company and people want to come visit your pizza company or pizza shop and want to have a pizza from you, you better have an easy way for them to get your phone number and your address right from a mobile site or a mobile page. You want to make sure that, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail here, but you just have to, when you're thinking about your design, thinking about your website, look at the design through the eyes of your viewers, and then make sure that if you think people are, you know, if you have a crowd that is 70 and older, if that's where your niche market is, then you might not need a mobile site because they're probably not going there. It just really depends. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, not going to dwell on this, but just really think, do you need a mobile site? Think of how your people, how your tribe, your community is actually absorbing all your content. So are you learning anything? Yes. Say yes in the chat box if you are, if you're still listening. And I think there might be a few issues that are going on. And if there is, I apologize and I'll try to work through those and see what the issues are. And we'll get you the video for this so you can hear all of it. You cannot miss a thing. So yes, sir. Yes, sir. Quite a bit. Yes. Excellent. So we're going to keep moving on. There's necessary pages. This is the third section that I want to talk about. There's a lot of great stuff. There's going to be a lot of examples in this section. So I'm excited to share you this. So what pages do you need to have on your website? A homepage is obvious. You know, you want something that people can come to when they go to your domain name the very first time. You know, you want an about page, a contact page, and an archived or blog post page. And I'm going to talk about that in each of these orders. First, I want to talk about the layout and the order a little bit. And this is kind of a web standard. And we'll see as we go through some of these examples that all of them are kind of set up the exact same way. And that just helps to eliminate that thinking process for people to, you know, to try to navigate through your site. So your homepage or your navigation bar is you want people to be able to find the information the fastest they can. So always, and this is another web standard thing that's kind of just been adopted by hundreds of thousands of people. If you have a home button, which we talked about earlier, you can remove that if you think you have a techie crowd or you're not, you know, you think you can get rid of that, you can remove that, but the home button should always be leftmost. But if your menu is top to bottom, you know, in a vertical stack, home is always the top and then about, and then they kind of go left to right, but have those, the one that's on the left here, home, is the most important. The about page is always right next to the home page. I don't know why it always is. And it's probably because it's the second most viewed web page on your site. And if you don't believe me, go and check out your analytics if you have an about page. And more than likely, you're going to find that is the second most visited page. And then I normally put services and or blog or packages or, you know, cool stuff or whatever website or whatever other pages and links, you can put those between the about page and the contact page. And the contact page is always the far right, or it's always the bottom one if you're going top to bottom. I don't know why. That's just how they do it. I think it's because the eye is drawn to the upper right-hand corner immediately. That's where people look for it. Sometimes people put, you know, look for the contact information down at the bottom of the website, but contact upper right, that's always where it is. Put it there so people can find it easily. So, and like I said, those can expand, you know, depending on, you know, how many other links you have, and you can do drop downs. You can do all kinds of other stuff, but the point here that I want to drive home is home, about, anything else, and then contact is last. That's where I was going with that. So the homepage, there's two purposes of the page. It's to get your email signups, your Facebook likes, whatever that purpose is. And then the second goal is to easily navigate to the things that they need. One way to do that is what we just talked about, the order of the links. You know, you want to make it easy. If everybody starts to do all these web standard things, then it's going to be so much easier to navigate websites. And so those are the two purposes of the homepage. Now, of course, you can have all your blog content, and that could be the purpose of your page. You know, people come to my homepage to read my most recent blogs. Perfectly good example. You know, that's your goal. That's the purpose of the homepage. If it's there to just kind of give a brief highlight, like what I could do for a website for my company is the homepage could be like, hey, contact us for a free quote or, you know, whatever. And then I could show like, here's my blog post. Here's a brief snippet of my portfolio. Show just a couple items. And just to give them that information, they can also navigate to those pages as well throughout the course of the site. The about page, like I said, is the most visited page on your website. If you are running a business, though, and I recommend this, is you can have the about page. I want you to have an about page, so about your company and talk about things along your company. And we're going to talk about what needs to be on the about page here in just a second. But I also encourage a meet the team page, especially if you're a smaller business or you're a small startup, you know, and you have, you know, several team members that you want to introduce and have a vital part on your website, it's perfect to have the Meet the Team page. I love going to those and looking at the people that I get to interact with these small businesses, these software companies, these graphic design companies, things along those lines. And then have fun with this page. You know, show people off some of your personality. In a couple slides, I'm going to show you some really great ones. But just, you know, just be excited about what you can share here. And it's really cool, like the inspiration that you can get from some of these things that I'm going to show you. So on the About page, here is the whole list of things. And let's just put them all up on the screen. So if you're taking notes, you can write them down. Whoops. So here is, you need to have a picture of you. If it's your blog, show them a picture of you. Make it personable. Say, hey, this is me. You know, like, check me out. This is my thing. And it makes it so much easier. You know, do you respond to Twitter messages when you get a message from somebody with a little Easter egg, like the default egg from Twitter? Not really. You know, you're not really interested. It's just like the normal default. You know, the normal default is like, hey, that's boring. You know, show a picture of you so people know who they're talking about. Show how your site or blog will help them. This is, and a lot of these points come from Michael Hyatt, who has a website over at michaelhyatt.com, and he's got a really great about page, and it's got all this information on, but show them how your site will help them. You know, like I say on mine, like, hey, check me out. This is what I do. I offer podcasts. I do some videos. You know, I'm trying to help you become a WordPress expert. That's my goal. Show them, tell them about the benefits that they're going to receive, not about what you're doing, how is it going to benefit them? Another good thing is if you're doing a blog, you know, tell them how often you'll show up on your blog. If you say, hey, I show up, you know, once a month, you know, people will be like, okay, once a month, I'll come back and check it out. If you're on there on a daily basis, let them know, hey, this is a daily thing. Come and check me out every single day. I've got great information to share with you. Another thing that you can do is you can have a subscribe button. You can throw one of those buttons on that says, hey, this is all my information. Don't, you know, I blog 5 times a week. If you don't want to miss out on anything, here, sign up. I'll send you all my blog posts, you know, so make sure that you don't miss this information. Have that right there on your about page. List some of your top blog posts, and you can look through your Google Analytics. You can look through, you know, your maybe some of your other stats that you're seeing, like, oh, this one got shared a lot, or this one, you know, had a lot of comments. You know, list some of those right there on that page and say, hey, if you want to check out some of the best work that I've done, these are the most popular posts. And these can change quite often. You know, I highly recommend this gets updated every 3 to 6 months as well, that you can go through and you just change that information. Make it more current. Put some biography information there. You know, tell them about your backstory. Tell them that you love long walks on the beach at sunset. You know, tell them whatever. You know, this is your page. You know, be as personable as you can. And then I always love, you know, it's great to have that contact information on there as well. If you've got that contact information on there, then that saves them one step from having to actually contact you. You know, you can just put, you know, or you can find me on Facebook, you know, put those types of things. Just make it easy for people to get to know you, because, you know, people trust people that they quote unquote feel that they know. And I know that there's a lot of you that are listening and you're right here on this webinar that you're like, I know Dustin, even though I haven't met most of you. You know, we have this kind of relationship because you've seen what my about page looks like. You've heard me, you know, on webinars and on podcasts and different things like that. So here's an example of and this one's kind of cool, and I thought, hey, I should copy this. This is really kind of neat. But of course, we can't copy, because that would go against Andrew's copyright probably. But this is, you know, this is a fun way to describe who he is. You know, he says he has a little bit about him. You know, he makes cool and creative designs. Here's some facts about him. These facts have nothing to do with his graphic design. He has a skill set there, and it's kind of a neat little graph there. But you can see there at the bottom, it's measured in awesomeness. And so it's not really, you know, it's not really a real thing, but still it's kind of, it's really neat. You can connect with him right there on Facebook and Twitter. And then you can even download his CV if you really want to. So this is one way that Andrew did a good job of laying it out. And I really like the monochrome, because that's how the rest of his site is really laid out. It's very kind of plain and basic. And I don't know. I really like this one. That's why it's an example. Another one is, here is from GenWorks, or I call it GenWorks, it's NGenWorks, and this is one that has the Meet the Team page. And these ones, they didn't want to have real images, but they've got caricatures. And I think the caricatures are kind of cool. I'd rather see an image, but it makes things very consistent. It makes it look pretty cool. And then if you click on one of the buttons, say click on Alex, for example, then it goes through and then it says, you know, all this information. He's a night owl. And and just the different things. Like, and if you click on each one of the boxes, each one of them answered the exact same question. So his story, odd job, on the nightstand, craziest hobby, greatest accomplishment, and greatest fear. And so those are all the questions that each person on this page will actually answer. And so that kind of ties them all together. So everybody's answering questions about their own personality, their own things, but then they all kind of relate because each person is putting their own thing on there. So I think that's really cool. The contact page. This is another overlooked page on most websites, and it's actually pretty much a shame because this is a huge page. Give your readers the opportunity to contact you. And put every type of account that you know how to use on there. And even if you're not very good at Twitter, put Twitter on there. If you're not very good at taking phone calls or, you know, receiving email or answering email, still put that information on there, because you have to remember you're designing your website for your viewers. And you want it to be the easiest way for your viewers the people that are coming to your website to contact you. So if somebody is, you know, a social guru, you know, they come to your website and they're like, oh, contact me via Twitter. Okay. And then they've, you know, before they can even really think about it, they probably have a tweet texted out to you, ready to go. And you don't have to be like super proficient with all these things, but I would recommend the ones that you use the most, the ones that you know how to use, put those on there. And there's some other items that you can do. Here's a list of examples of things that you can put on your contact page. You can do email. You can do phone, address, hours of operation, especially if you have a brick and mortar store and people are coming to your website. You know, some of these aren't really necessary for blogs, because blogs you don't go to a blog, you know, you read the blog. A web contact form is something that gets overlooked way too often. They are really easy to add, especially if you're using WordPress, but web contact forms are the pages that you go to, and it's got the form that says your name, phone number, email address, and then send me a message. You can be really creative with these contact forms. You can go on and you can say, you can have check boxes and say, I am interested in sales or technical support or billing. And then those, depending on which box is checked, then it can go to that department of your company. You can have the ability to have them say, hey, contact me. Here's all my information, but my favorite method of contacting is email or phone, or just reply to me here, or, you know, you've got a lot of flexibility there. I know, especially I built one of these forms for my website, and there's a button at the bottom that says, yes, you can use this question on an upcoming podcast. And I had a lot of problems because before people would ask a question and then I would answer them and say, hey, and then I'd be like, hey, is it okay if I answer this on an upcoming show? And then they would have to respond and say yes. And then you just add in an extra step. So I just added that feature right there. Live chat is another thing. If you've got that capability, if your company is all about sitting in front of your computer, somebody's always there 8 to 5, you know, answering questions, put that live chat feature right on your contact page. I know I love that with tech companies. You know, there's somebody there that I can talk to via typing, and that's usually the fastest way for me, because if I'm contacting somebody via live chat, I usually have some sort of error code and I can copy and paste that directly into the page, or I can send them a link real quick to what I'm looking at, and they can help me with the problem. The last thing, there's two more things here on the list. The interactive map. This one has really been kind of cool now that you can embed Google Maps onto pages. This one basically is just a map, and I'll show you here in just a second. But it's a map that has the little icon, the little A symbol, where your business is, and then you have the ability to drag and drop, and you can move it, and you can move it all around, and you can zoom out, and you can zoom in. So how this works is it's very powerful, because people can see like, oh, that's where you are, or okay, now I don't know exactly how would I get there from there, and then you can just zoom out. Longer the days, and I haven't seen one of these in the longest time, and maybe they're still out there, but there used to be buttons that said, take me to MapQuest, map it, or something like that. I don't know what happened to those buttons, but I think now that a lot of people have GPSs or smartphones, you know, we're not printing out those MapQuest maps anymore. And this is a perfect place for those social media buttons. I mean, you can get rid of those. You can put those right there on that page as well, so people can contact you through those. So here's an example of one, and this kind of looks like you're actually mailing something when you're emailing, but they have down there at the bottom, they have Twitter. They have the Twitter ability for you can see the latest posts. You can go right to their Twitter page, has their office hours. One thing that's cool on this page is it says right now the time is, and it tells you exactly what the time is in that area code. And so you can see that this company is in Florida. And so that's Eastern time zone. And so you know, hey, I'm between these windows, I can go ahead and give them a call right now. And so I really like this page. Another one here, this one has the interactive map that I was talking about. You can click and you can drag. This is a company over in Belgium, but you can also see across the top, you know, you see the home and then about, and then a couple other services, portfolio, blog, and then contact. And then it's highlighted on this page that you're on the contact page. So it's highlighted, so you know exactly where you are. And then you've got that contact form right there that you can get a hold of them. And then this last one's really cool too. I really like the picture at the top, like the message in a bottle, like send us a message. And it's got all the same stuff, you know, their telephone number, fax, email, and then they've got that web form and the interactive map as well. One other thing that I want to say with pages is the archive blog post. You want to make sure that it's easy for people to find your old writing. And whether that be like a widget that displays popular posts, kind of like this one that's right here on the right, you know, these are some of the most popular posts that are on my website from the last couple months, or there's different ways to find archive content. So there's, you know, there's actual pages that you can have that are archived, and these can be fun as well. So this is one that this guy has actually moved to a different website since 2010, 2011, as you can see, but these are all spaced out. And I think that's kind of a cool way to do it. I mean, it's not the most practical way, but it's a way. Here's one that you can see if you click on the buttons that are inside that red circle. You can either just see all the titles and who the author was, or on the right hand side you can see who you can see a little bit more about that article as well. You can read that summary. And so those are just some things with the archive blog posts. You can organize them by category. You can just have a page that says archive or old posts or something like that, and then they can go there and they can search by category. Maybe they can search by date, they can search by tags, you know. There's all kinds of different ways, but I didn't have time to put all these, you know, all the different options in there. But there's just, you just want to make sure that it's visually appealing for people to find and actually go through your old content, because you've got some great evergreen content that's on your blog that is good forever. You know, people can read that, you know, three years from now and still get really great advice from it. Okay, so now we're on to the very end of the end section, and there's still quite a bit more information to go. So I'm sure that I'm sure there might be some questions at the end, and we'll have time for those as well. But here are the immediately remove items. And so these are things that should be removed on most sites, but there are some instances that they are valuable. They have the ability to add great value to your website. But the thing that I want to talk about is get rid of negative social proof. Everybody loves those share buttons that that say share me, tweet me, go to Facebook. You know, all these things are cool. But if you aren't getting a lot of shares, let's get rid of that section of your site. So not really that section, but say, you know, you say you put up this type of plugin, and you can see that of the six social platforms, it's actually been shared 4 times. You know, that's not screaming, hey, this is good content. What you can do is you can actually remove all those. You can in that plugin, you can say don't display results, and then you can just show that whole line of those buttons, which gives it your that's no negative social proof. Kind of is, hey, nobody's tweeting this. It's either not good or nobody's coming. An example of when you get good, this is once again Michael Hyatt, and he's had, you know, hundreds of shares on each one of these different pages on this post itself. That yes, you can stay on top of email. So don't display unless you're getting a lot. And this was actually something also that I learned at Blog World. I had one of the Twitter buttons on there, and I know that I normally was the guy that clicked on it, and to at least make it one, I normally clicked on it maybe twice, you know, so it wasn't, it looked like a ghost town, if you will. But it turned out that then I started using Buffer app to kind of like buffer out my tweets and make them go at different times, and I never used that button, so now it was just displaying 0 all the time. I ended up just removing it. And with that too, I just want to say that if the content is really good, people are going to find a way to share it. You know, I don't think I've ever clicked on one of these buttons, or rarely. You know, I click on it to make sure they're working when I'm building a website, but I don't use them hardly at all. And don't take that, that's just one of my personal things, but they're still very valuable on your website. I also remove social media buttons from above the fold content. And what above the fold means is just when you go to your website for the very first time without scrolling, what do you see? You saw that way back in the beginning. I took away all those buttons, those 8 buttons that were there. And now I actually don't have them on my homepage at all. When I get a new email subscriber, I follow up with people and say, hey, you know, thanks for contacting me. Here's some more information. You know, ask me any questions whenever you need. Here's my social links. You know, find me if you will. Once again, people, if they're interested in your entrepreneur content, they're going to find you. I like putting them in the footer. They're kind of out of the way there. People kind of look for them there in that area. And so that's another place that you could put them. And like I said, I put them in my newsletter when people sign up or when I respond to messages. They're always in my signature so people can contact me. So I'm not trying to shove down like, hey, sign up, you know, just because I really want true followers on Twitter. I want people who are interactive that are people that I can grow a relationship with. I'm not in it for the numbers. I am in it to form those relationships. Another thing is get rid of the floating buttons that cover up part of your site. This is a website that it was real. This isn't Photoshop. This was actually just a screenshot. But people have these floating buttons that go up and down the sides, or they're just different places, and they're perfectly fine. You can use them. I don't have any problems with those, but make sure you're checking out what they look like on different devices. You know, if you have a really narrow screen, if you're on an iPhone, you're on an iPad, you know, they may or may not show up. And so if you're going to use them, make sure that you check it out on different devices. If you don't have a bunch of different devices, I know that I have all the Apple gear, the iPhone, the iPad, the MacBook, iMac. But if you need a screenshot of something, you know, hey, send me an email, Dustin@yourwebsiteengineer.com. Say, hey, I just need a screenshot of what this looks like on this device. Can you help me? I'll be glad to do that. That's not a problem. I love doing that kind of stuff for people. So you just want to make sure that if you're using them, make sure they work and they're not covering up your content, because I might want to buy something that's underneath those buttons. The clutter, we talked about white space before. You just want to make sure that everything that's on your website, you know, has a purpose. You know, make sure that the stuff that's there is there for a reason. Sidebar content, a big thing that they stressed at New Media Expo or Blog World when I was there, don't take people to a different website. And if you do, open up a new tab, you know, because you don't want them to forget that you're on your website. You know, you don't want people coming to you to yourwebsiteengineer.com and then, oh, check out this link over here. And then they click on it and then they're off on a rat trail, you know, somewhere else, you know, doing something else. So if you do, open up a new tab. It's not the best, but try to promote your own stuff on your sidebar. You know, it's your website. It's your sidebar. You know, that's a great place to put, you know, good posts from before, you know, what's it called, the most popular post plugin, or put a testimonial over there on the side, or, you know, sign up for, you know, or I'm a speaker somewhere, or I'm doing this, or I'm doing this. Make it about you on that sidebar. Don't be promoting other people's things. And that's another thing that sidebar just there was some of my own feelings. That I think that it's your website. Promote the things that you're doing. Another thing that I say here is get rid of the bazillion widgets that you're using, and make sure that your widgets do not go longer than your page itself. And here's an example, and this is on an average, but here is a screenshot of what yourwebsiteengineer.com used to look like, and this was before I did some changes. But you can see that I only had 4 blog posts that were showing up on the homepage, and then I had a whole bunch of white space in the main body of my site. Then I've got all this stuff in the sidebar going on. And so there was 2 options I could do here. I could either remove some of the archives, because the archives start getting kind of long once you be posting for longer and longer amounts of time. Or I could have made it show up maybe 8 posts on that homepage. And so it doesn't matter what you do. You know, for the most part, though, you just want to make sure that your content is longer or about the same size as your sidebar. You don't want to be done with your content and then you have to, people can scroll, you know, for 4 minutes to get all the way to the bottom of your page because you got so much stuff going on the sidebar. Pop-up overlays are another really annoying thing. Okay, this one automatically popped up. This is something, say you go to a website and you are trying to get the text, you know, you're trying to read a site, you just Googled something, you just stumbled upon the site, it looks really good, it's got some great information, you're like 3 sentences into reading whatever you're reading, and then you get this. The screen goes dark, you get this pop-up, and they're just like, hey, sign up now, you know, shouting at you, like, hey, this is important to me. That drives me crazy. I know that it will get more conversion rates. You know, you're going to get people to sign up because people know that, hey, or most people think, hey, if I sign up, I'll never see this message again, which is true. And so they just do it in spite of doing it. I mean, once again, I want people who are interested in signing up to sign up. So that's what this slide was all about. Sorry, you can't read the text. It's just a bunch of text anyways. There wasn't a lot of good points there. Now, if you must do the pop, it did it again. Okay. if you must do the pop-up overlays, have a delay popping up for at least a minute. So if somebody's on there for a Google search, you know, they're looking for the information. It wasn't quite what they were looking for. And so they click the back button. You don't need those people signed up on your newsletter. If they're reading an article and they're really interested, you know, if you have a long blog post, they're taking their time to read through it, you know, show, you know, then you can pop that up. Another thing you can do is you can show it if someone has navigated to more than one page. That's another kind of cool feature that, oh, they've been on this blog post and then this one and then this one. Okay, now they might be interested in what I'm talking about. Maybe now if I offer them a free product, they're not just going to automatically hit the X button. Because honestly, if I'm interested, this is another personal thing. If I am interested in your website, interested in your blog post, I will sign up. I'm interested. If you have a great product that you're trying to give away for free, I'm going to sign up. You don't have to force that down my throat. And then one other point that I want to make on this is if the user clicks the X to close out, make sure that it sets a cookie to remember the user's choice of what they chose. You know, you don't want them to click the X and then on the very next page they go to, you know, it pops up again. I know there's a website that my wife actually navigates to for recipes and things, and she would be on the page and she'd be looking at a recipe and then she'd click the X because it would automatically pop up, and then she would go to the next recipe and it would automatically pop up and she'd have to close it, and then she'd go to the next page and it would automatically pop up, and it was just completely annoying. So if somebody clicks the X, make sure that they remember the plugin remembers that person's choice. And if it's, you know, you can let that cookie, you know, set up for, you know, a day or, you know, 4 or 5 hours. And then if you really want that pop-up overlay to come back, if they navigate to that site after 5 hours, after a week, whatever, then you can prompt them again. So some action items to take place. You know, we've got just a few minutes left in this hour. So things that I want you to take away from this, and these are things that you can work on immediately, and you don't have to implement them all immediately, but just start thinking about the different things that you need to do on your website. So determine that number one focus of your website. What is your website or blog? What is it meant to do? Try to figure that out and focus on that. The next is to revise your website structure. That was to make sure you have some white space. That was all the things that we talked about at the beginning, trying to, I don't even remember. There are all the things to kind of set your page apart, make the buttons look like buttons, things along those lines. Remember, you know, think about those sort of things. And you can make those changes, you know, one, two at a time, and really make a big impact on your site. Update or add the necessary pages. If you don't have a about page or don't have a contact page, you know, make sure that you go ahead and add those. They're real simple to add, especially if you're using WordPress. If you're not quite to WordPress yet, you know, make sure that you find a developer that can help you add those necessary pages. Add that content on that about page so you kind of get that personal relationship with the people that are actually coming to your site. And then the last one is remove items. Some of those things we talked about, the floating social media buttons that are over some of your text, the ones that have negative social proof, the pop-ups that automatically show up, you know, when you don't want them to, or when your visitors don't want them to. Make sure that you don't have clutter. You know, everything that's on your site is there for a specific reason. So with that, that is what I wanted to share with you. Sorry for so much information, and I could have went for another hour or two, but I had to strip a lot of stuff away. If there are some questions, feel free to post them in the chat room, and I will try to monitor them and see what's going on there. I haven't really looked at it for a little while, so let's see what's going on in there. And if not, thank you so much for attending. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day, especially you on the West Coast. I know it's early. I'm just trying a different time slot just to see how that works. I like the Fridays, but the last time it was too late and the guys in Australia had a hard time staying awake. So I bumped it forward a little bit, and bumping it forward a little bit leaves less time for me to procrastinate on Friday mornings. It's like, I got to get it done and then I can move on to the rest of my work day. Anyone have any questions about things that are going on, things that they have on their site, questionable things that they have on their site that they don't know if is good or not, anything along those lines? Nice. Lisa just added a picture to her about page. Lynn just says that she needs to declutter some things. Wow, I didn't know that there was the Gravity Forms 50% off code. That is awesome. Thanks, Adam, for that. That is really cool. I am a big Gravity Forms person. Should I have an about page and a host bio, or should I combine them? Tom, it kind of depends on what. Oh, it's $50 off, not 50%. Oh, bummer. Tom, it depends. The about page can include the host bio. It depends on what your site is and what you're really focused on. You know, you can have the about page being about the brand itself, and then if you wanted to have another, you know, a link for a. I would, if you have it two separate pages, for sure, I would have a link to the about the bio from the about page. And then you can have an image there, or you can do things like that. Andrea, you need a homepage, but a homepage button, I think it just kind of depends. You know, if people are coming to your website for coupons, they're, I would guess, pretty savvy, because most people would buy or get coupons via paper copy. So if you're doing it online, I would say that you're part of a digital bunch. And so I would think that you could probably remove that, especially, I guess, the point that I want to make here is, if you want to have more room for more menu items, because sometimes people have a lot of menu items and it just really either they're long titles or they stretch across the page and then they wrap to the next line, which is really bad. But if you need that extra little bit of real estate, go ahead and remove that home button. I don't think that you're going to have a lot of people struggle with, you know, navigation without that. Another thing that you could do, and this is a good point too, and I probably should have talked about this, was using breadcrumbs. And breadcrumbs are like the navigational breadcrumbs that you can see, like what page you're on and then the page that was before it. And so like it would say like home and then maybe like an arrow and then about. And then you know that you're on the about page, but then you can get back to the home page using the breadcrumbs. And then you can kind of get away with getting rid of that home button as well. Any more questions? We've got a couple of minutes left. I'm excited to answer anything that anyone has. The emails recommended, Tom, the email recommended, very friendly, is the first one that I could recommend is MailChimp. MailChimp is a perfect one to get started. The one that I recommend and the one that I use exclusively now is Benchmark Email, and that one, mainly because they have I know the guys that have built the plugin, and I actually just submitted a few new features for them last week when I talked to them, but they do a really great job of interacting and giving you the example. And here, I'll show you what what a form can look like. On one of my other sites, I actually have the form. It's standard what they have. I used a little custom style sheet to make it look like it does. But right here is just, you know, it's their plugin. All I had to do is code it just a little bit to get those updates. So you can make changes like that. It's very simple. And their plugin, you drag it in. And then the cool part about their plugin too, and you can automatically send a blog post to your email subscribers right from WordPress. You can manage a lot of things right from WordPress. With MailChimp, you can't do that as much. They have plugins and stuff. And Benchmark Email actually costs a little bit too. I think my package that I pay for is like $10 a month or something. But what I need to... that motivates me to actually send out newsletters, because if I'm not paying for anything, it's like, oh, it's not a big deal. If I'm paying $10 a month and not doing anything, then that really makes me mad. And I really want to, you know, use their service that I'm paying for. So that's what I do there. Anything else? Any more questions? If not, we'll get this thing all wrapped up. I'm going to actually, I don't know if I get to this today, but by Monday, you should have a video copy of this in your inbox. And then you can go through and you can review it and you can watch it as many times if you weren't able to keep up with my blistering fast speed, because there was a lot of information. And I'm excited to share with you. And I guess the next slide I do have is, see you next time. There's going to be, I plan on doing these webinars once every Friday or the first Friday of every month. It gives me motivation to put a presentation together. It gives me focus and motivation to share more great information with you guys. And so some upcoming ideas is maybe how to secure your WordPress site, maybe an insider's guide to a responsive website, what that means, how to use that, all those things along those lines. I've got a SEO person that I think I'm going to have lined up for one of these upcoming webinars to talk about some different things that you can do to get ranked higher on Google and things like that. So very excited about all those things. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for taking time out of your day to spend it with me, me in my basement, just recording away. Excited. And I will look into the meeting burner things just to see what kind of issues they may be having and talk to those guys over there and say that we had a few little hiccups during the course of the presentation. So with that, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your Friday, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care now. Bye-bye.